Steve Sciarrippa. Good morning, sir.
Hey, what's happening? How are you?
Hey, good.
Thank you for waking up and coming on the show.
I am a pleasure to be here. Happy to be here talking to you guys.
What season were you murdered?
The next to last episode.
Wow. See, they kept almost to the last.
That's great.
That's good. That means they liked you.
Yeah. It was good. I made it to the end. A lot of guys got clipped early.
Yep. Yeah.
And that was not good. That was not good at all. Vinny Pastore, big pussy. A poor guy got killed at the end of the second season.
Amazing.
You know?
It's a drag when you get a role of a lifetime.
Yep.
And you pick up that script. Do they tell you? Do they say, hey, man,
listen,
I don't want you to read it. Right. I have to tell you.
I got to tell you, yeah. I mean, big surprise.
Do they tell you? People got told different ways. A couple people were not told by mistake. But either you got the phone call from him, or when we had the episode read-through, which we did every episode, you know, whoever was in it, big giant table, a lot of food, and we would read the script from front to back. He would tap you on the shoulder before time and say, hey, can I talk to you?
Right.
That's David Chase.
Right.
In my case, I got a phone call, and he came to my apartment.
Whoa.
So he was afraid.
I guess I was flattered. It was like a real hit. He called me. He said, where are you? I said, I'm at the apartment. He came up. Doorman rang him up. I opened the door. He said, I guess you know why I'm here. And it really was like a real hit. I said, well, I guess so. Come on in.
Right.
And he told me it's going to be in a train store. And that's how I found out. So.
Right. I noticed my name isn't on the script right here. Why is that?
No, but there's a little, it's almost, how did you feel about that?
Well, I was fine because, you know, once you made it to the last season.
Right,
yeah.
It was all bets were off.
Like
you know,
Survivor.
You were getting paid, you were getting paid for the entire season. And that was it. The way the story goes. I mean, I was fine with it. I would not have liked it. Obviously, for numerous reasons, if I got killed off early on, one, financially,
yeah.
Of course, two, it was it became like a family, man. You know, you were hanging out with your friends. You were part of this amazing thing that's still going. It's still a juggernaut. It's amazing. You know, it ended in 2007. We're still going. New generation of kids are watching this stuff, and I would have been in a funk, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I really was. You know, we talk about it on stage at the show. Vinny talks about his feelings. He couldn't watch the show again.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
He watched it for many, many years. You know, he understood it, but he was upset. And as the years gone on, you know, you got paid better and better. You know?
Right. Right. He missed all that. But just to be a part of something that
history.
Is beautiful and art, and it's everything, I think, when you go into acting,
yeah.
that you could ever want. Like a great writer, producer, the best cast.
It's an iconic
fans
series.
Fans love it.
Yep. They quote you.
But then to be gone in the second season.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
It's heartbreaking.
I mean, all of that, but, you know, it hurt. I'm sure it hurt him. He talks about it, and, you know.
Well,
Vinny. So, you know, that's the way it went. You know, the more material they gave you, the bigger your character got, the more of a chance you were going to get killed.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was a worry. It was a real worry.
Yeah. And Tony always had something to say about you, always making fun of your weight. You know, the time you walked into Junior's house and you're wearing the hunting outfit, he called you Elmer Fudd.
I love it.
Yeah. When
probably.
I wore a fat suit.
Yep.
My first couple of years, then I got fat enough on my own.
Smart man.
Too many readings at the table, the food.
Steve Sciarrippa is on
actor.
With the Sopranos. They're doing a conversation with the Sopranos Saturday, November 18th at College Street Music Hall in New Haven. We're linked up. Is this sold out? If not, it's close.
It's close. It's a really good show. If you're a Soprano fan, we've been doing it for years. We've toured Australia. We had a huge tour canceled because of COVID in the UK. But we do it all over the country. And we show clips. We got a great comedian with us, Joey Cole.
Oh, nice.
He's awesome. He's been in studio with us.
Yeah,
great.
Joey's great. Yeah,
Joey's good. guy. He's been traveling with us for years, so it's me, Michael Imperioli, Vinny Pastore. We show clips, we show slides. It's all comedy-driven, behind-the-scenes stories. We do a big Q&A at the end, so it's we've been doing, you know, we do a lot of, I don't know, 1,000, 12, 13, 1,400 people everywhere we go. It's a real fun show if you if you're a fan of The Sopranos.
Do you bring Willie Boy with you?
Nah, you know, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Willie Boy's going to make an appearance at one of these things. So,
have you had...
Maybe it's New Haven. You know, I don't know. I got to bring my wife's got to be with him. You know, he's a mama's boy.
Gotcha.
Have you had a moment during the question and answer period where you found out something about the show or the cast that you didn't know and were surprised to find out?
You know, not during the Q&A, but, you know, during our podcast, you know, me and Michael had a podcast talking Sopranos, and I found out a lot of stuff I didn't know then. You know, Michael was a writer. He's done he wrote five episodes. He was in the writer's room. So he knows stuff. And even on stage every night, because every show is different, I learned stuff from him. We did have one great question. Well, a lot of great questions, but a lot of them are your typical, what happened to the ending, you know, blah, blah, blah.
What's your answer to that? What's your answer to that?
You know, for a long time, I thought Tony Soprano was alive and well in New Jersey. And as the years have gone on and I've interviewed different people, I think Tony Soprano died. Hmm. I never thought that, but I think Tony Soprano died.
Yeah.
And really good question. Somebody said, what would have happened, what do you think that would have happened if Livia didn't die, if Tony Soprano's mom didn't die in real life, Nancy Marchand, where do you think, you know, the storyline would have went?
You would have killed her.
I thought that was a really good question because I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah, those are great.
You know.
Yeah.
But that was a good one. But usually it's the, you know, is alive, is he dead? You know, sometimes it's a good one. Then sometimes people complain, you know.
Nobody would want to see that happen to Tony.
Yeah, such an iconic character.
To suggest but then leave the door.
Guy was a murderer. That's the brilliance of the writing. Tony Soprano was a murderer. He did a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
Right? Not just to other mob guys, to innocent people. Yet, through the writing, through the acting, you rooted for Tony Soprano.
He was charming.
You loved Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
You didn't want to see anything happen to him. You know, here we are. Probably he's the anti-hero. We're rooting for this murderer. Right? Throughout the series.
Yeah.
And that's the genius of the show.
That's right. Very true.
Show was funny. Show is very smart. It's not just a bunch of mob guys killing each other. You know, it is very smart, very funny. It's held up. I didn't watch the show for 20 years, me and Michael Imperioli, since it aired, first aired. And during we had the podcast, I used to watch each episode two or three times because obviously there's fans out there who know a lot more about the show than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a refresher course.
So I would watch it and watch it and watch it and take notes and then watch them for enjoyment, which I loved every minute of it. Besides the cars and the computers and the phones, it holds up like it was written yesterday.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Whereas some shows, you go, this is really dated.
Yeah.
Here it's not dated.
Well.
And that's why, you know, everywhere you get stopped and they show up at our shows, kids in their late teens, 20s, that were too young to watch it the first time around. Their parents watched it. Now they're watching it.
There are some politically.
During the pandemic, it was like the number two show being watched.
Yeah, I believe it.
Perfect time to watch it.
I agree with everything you said. It's like wine. It gets better as time goes on.
Yeah,
I think
age as well.
Some of the stuff that you guys filmed and some of the scenes and some of the things that were said, you can't say now. They would never put it into any kind of a Hollywood production.
Sure. You know? Well,
and to see that,
chase that when he came on, and could it be made today? And he didn't think it could be made today. No one would buy it today. You know, a bunch of
it'd be so watered down.
You know, fat, sweaty white guy show. I don't think
that was the other name they were going to use.
That was the working title originally, yeah.
Meatball Show.
Steve Schripp is on talking about a conversation with Sopranos happening Saturday, November 18th at College Street Music Hall in New Haven.
That's great.
You know, have you had mobster-type people come up to you and say, hey, that scene with the head in the bowling ball bag, I did that. Like, have you had that kind of stuff?
Well, critique? There was a few incidents. There was one. I lived in Little Italy for a couple of seasons. Season three and four. And Monday morning, you know, like 11 o'clock, I'm bringing my dirty laundry down to the dry cleaner. And a guy stops me who owns a couple of restaurants in the neighborhood. He went, hey, Steve, what's... I said, yeah, his name is Rocky. Hey, Rock, what's happening? He said, hey, you know I love the show, but anybody who's ever killed anyone knows that's not how you do it. I went, okay, Rock, I know how you do it.
Well, thanks for that tip.
So
I appreciate it.
Another time... Michael ran into a real wise guy, and he was showing Michael how to choke someone from behind with, like, a rope. He said, if you ever want to know, blah, 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 blah. He was giving tips. And then Jim got a call one night. Jim Gandolfini got a call on the cell phone, private call, picks it up, hello. And the guy says, listen, Don never wears shorts. And hung up.
Yep.
And he never found out who it was, where it was. It was very mysterious. So that's you know, what I know of. I'm sure there was other ones. I know Vinny, there was a bunch of wise guy social club up in the Bronx who, you know, so Vinny started acting late. And so they really embraced him. Hey, we love what you're doing. He was in this movie, that movie, this movie. And then the minute they found out that he was the rat, they wouldn't let him in the club anymore.
He's wearing a wire.
That's funny.
But I do know that they did like the show, and which shows you how authentic it was. You know, because
right.
A lot of times, you know, when you're close to something, like if you guys watch a movie about a morning radio guys, you go, ah, this is a bunch of crap. That doesn't happen. Get out of here.
Yeah.
You know? But it goes to show you how real the show was because these guys watched it.
Well, it's how the mafia has evolved from the Godfathers to Goodfellas to the Sopranos.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I don't know if there's been a good mob movie since the Sopranos or a good mob show or anything like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great point.
Yeah,
it's true.
Really good one.
It's true.
Oh, you're right. That's the last great mob show or movie.
Yep.
What did you think, Steve, of the attempt at doing the prequel?
I don't know. Look, anything David Chase does, I'm a fan. I think he's brilliant. It wasn't my favorite movie. I don't know why. I don't know why it needed to be made. You know,
right?
You know what I mean? It was okay. You know, I watched it. We had the cast on the podcast and wonderful actors. I don't know if, you know, they were all wonderful. I don't know. I kind of don't know why it had to be made, you know? I
mean, yeah,
it was no need.
You know, there was talk before Jim passed away, which today's Jim's Gandolfini's birthday, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I'm 2 years old.
I just got chills.
But, you know, there was talk at one point because Jim wanted to get away from being Tony Soprano. The show ended, blah, blah, blah. Him and David, I don't think, spoke. David told us for like 2 or 3 years. They didn't even speak. Jim had a new baby. He was doing great. And there was talk of doing a prequel then with the real guys before we got too old. You know, there was talk of that. And if Jim would have... if Jim didn't pass away, it's very possible there would have been a prequel with us, you know.
That would have been special.
You know, you're all walkers, or you do like the crappy Sex in the City stuff. When they're all
those are pretty bad.
They'll be doing it with walkers and no teeth. So.
You know, the only thing, though, to see James's son, it looks so much like James.
Yeah.
And to
yeah.
That was magical. Because
really nice
I felt
boy.
Like I was
actor,
actually
nice
seeing him.
Yeah. Very good actor, yeah.
Really nice kid. Really nice kid.
Before I let you go, so you start The Sopranos, you're wearing a fat suit, and then you get fat enough to not wear the suit. How do they tell you, like, hey, you know?
You don't need the suit.
Hey, man, you look
you know,
great. I just
want
to let you know.
I literally was waiting outside to go upstairs to the costume, you know, to get fitted. You know, to every year before the season, you go and get fitted for your new clothes for the season.
Yeah.
So I was waiting outside, and David had walked by, and blah, blah, blah. He went in the building, you know, we were outside the studio, blah, 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 blah. When I went up there, her name's Juliet. She's wonderful. She said, hey, you know, David said you don't need to wear that anymore.
Said, right, then he ran.
I mean, so of course, I was nowhere near as fat. The suit looked kind of phony, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially the first year. I mean, you know, it looked, it put 100 pounds on me. I mean, I certainly didn't gain 100 pounds, but, you know, it was kind of silly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it worked, you know. All the jokes had to work. So when I got the script, after I auditioned, and then I saw all these fat jokes, you know, cannoli with legs and this and that, you know, all those fat things that he said. And I'm going to myself, well, I'm not that much fatter than him. So these jokes don't work.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying, I'm really questioning. I'm going, maybe they cast the wrong guy. Did they make a mistake? And then they called me a few days before. I was living in Las Vegas at the time. And they called me a few days before and said, listen, you got to get fitted for this fat suit. So they kind of threw something together, and that's how that happened, you know.
When you auditioned, how do you know? You don't know it's going to be this great thing, right?
Well, you know, I came on in the second season. You know, the other guys, and we talk about all this stuff on stage, you know. They didn't know what it was going to be at all. And by the time I got on, which was in 1999, you know, it was like July of 99, you know, something like that, which is a long time ago now that I think, it wasn't as big. It was good, and they had gotten great reviews and all that, but it didn't explode. It kind of exploded when it got nominated, the first cable show to ever be nominated for an Emmy, and it was nominated for 16.
Okay, so everyone got into it then.
Now it's all cable shows.
Right.
Now Blue Bloods, which I've been on since 2015, and is a wonderful show, nothing gets nominated, which is nonsense.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's just nonsense. It's just a bunch of garbage.
It is.
I remember.
So, you know, that's when it kind of really exploded. And then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's massive in Australia, the UK. Now it's streaming Saudi Arabia. I mean, literally all over the world, the show is.
I remember the original promo before the show came on for HBO. It was Tony Soprano standing near a railroad track, and Green Onions was playing.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know if they, you know, had this theme song yet, or they didn't want to reveal it or whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You know, David's a music, you know, a real music buff, and he picked out all the music. And by the time the season ended, the music budget was like $500,000 an episode.
Wow.
Damn.
An episode.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's how crazy it got. And, you know, the music, as we know, were a big part of the show. Big part of the show, the music, you know. And they were not doing covers of a Sinatra song. That was the real Sinatra song. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, big difference.
You know, yeah, huge difference.
It's cheaper, obviously, when you get a lounge guy to do a Sinatra song and you play that, you know. David and Martin Bruce Lee, they picked out all the music, which was pretty brilliant. And now you see, and that's, I'm not going to say that was the first show to use the music, but it really was prominent. Now a lot of shows use music like that throughout. It's a big part, if you notice. But I think David Chase kind of pioneer in that way.
You know? Yeah, no doubt. Groundbreaking show. And like you said, still relevant today.
Yep.
Still being watched and still loved. Steve Sciarippa, thanks for coming on. We're linked up to the conversation with the Sopranos happening Saturday, November 18th at College Street Music Hall in New Haven. Thank you, sir.
Beautiful. Hope to see you guys.
Yeah, you will.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.